Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Here we go. All right, guys, welcome back from a long hiatus to another edition of Talking Two-Tone. This is officially our third calendar year going into this. My name's Ash Arati. I'm joined by Tyler Whipple, the best in the biz. We're just going to jump right on into this thing, man. We're going to talk about today. We've got a list. Let me tell you, 2024 has rocked me to my freaking core. So much to the point now where I'm going to have to start showing a little bit of skin to sell this podcast. But you know what? I'm having freaking fun, man. I am living life. I'm loving it. There's a lot of chaos, and I'm a freaking agent of chaos, man. Starting with the Jaguars game. Oh, boy. What a bunch of sweet, poetic justice, man. Last year, winning you're in, winner of the game wins the division, goes on, hosting a playoff game, playing in Jacksonville. Josh Dobbs didn't fumble, but they said he fumbled, even though it wasn't a fumble. They called it a fumble, so we lost the game. And then the Jaguars come sleepwalking into Nashville thinking, oh, here we go, little mini Tennessee Titans. But they didn't understand that the mayor – of freaking Duval County, the entire county, is Derrick Henry. And he put on a freaking performance. Tennessee did everything they possibly could to try to lose the game. And Derrick said, no. No.
In typical fashion.
Let the Jaguars watch.
Yeah, I mean, if that was the send-off for the king, you know, I know we're getting that later. But that what a wonderful, you know, throwback that was against the Jags. You know, the normal Derrick Henry has his one big game a year against the Jags, and he usually kills the Texans. You know, it kind of didn't happen this year, but it was nice to see a good throwback game with the King and Tajay Spears, and the offense looked, you know, they kind of looked like they actually knew how to score a point for once this season. See Tannehill one last time too was kind of nice. I know a lot of people aren't giving that. I'm more high on Tannehill than a lot of Titans fans are. I'm glad to see him go out and win and taking down the division foe one more time. We also didn't get that record that we didn't want the first time going defeated in division in franchise history, I believe, at least since we've been the Tennessee Titans. So that was something we got to avoid too. And taking a team in division out of the playoffs is always a great thing. And also, it didn't affect our draft stock at all. They stayed in the same position at 7, win or lose there. So it was a win-win in the circumstances. So I really enjoyed the game, and it sucks that we got to wait, 280 more days now for the next game. So
you know what? They just start rolling together after a while, let me tell you, though. But another big freaking bombshell in my life. You know, I've had some bombshells in my personal life and now also in my Tennessee Titans life and also my alumni life. And pretty much all of 2024 has been a bunch of bombshells, right? But it's all right. It's going to be all right. Now, I'm going to preface this on, you know, going into the next subject here of Mike Vrabel being fired by the Tennessee Titans. Look, I like Vrabel. I'm a big Vrabel guy. The players like Vrabel. You know, he's going to go somewhere and be successful for sure. I think this was the right move for the direction of the franchise. And I say this out of my pure and absolute hatred for the offensive output this team has shown over the last two seasons. I know we scored some points against Jacksonville, guys, and we started off really hot. And then, as the game progressed, it started to get a little bit mucky. You know, in the third quarter, we scored in the opening possession of the game of the third quarter. Didn't score the rest of the second half. We almost blew the game. You cannot leave your defense on the field for that long. You cannot and expect to win games. But Mike Vrabel being fired, I think, is a good thing because, in turn, I think that means Tim Kelly will be fired, which is awesome. And I think that this team now can kind of, it's either going to be really, really bad or it's going to be really, really good because Tennessee has put themselves in a position to where they can catapult this process. They've got salary cap advantages, they've got draft pick advantages, they've got a franchise quarterback potentially playing. They've got a lot of stuff to look forward to. They've got D Hop there if you decide to go wide receiver route to where you can mentor. You know, there's a lot of good stuff there, but they have to get this right. And I think that Vrabel's inability to fire or make adjustments to his staff outside of the player people in the building led to his downfall.
I don't know if I agree with that. Agree with the firing based off merit. I think he's been pretty good with the Titans. I mean, everybody's over. I think we're overselling Mike Vrabel a little bit on in the grand scheme of the NFL and the coaching tiers. The guy only went 54-45 with the Titans. If it wasn't for Ryan Tannehill, he may have been fired in his second or third season. If we're being honest, because we were 2-5, I believe, when or 2-4 when he came in
When
for Marcus
Mariota got
Mariota,
benched.
and after that, and people don't give Tannehill the credit for that. I can go back to that again. He started that magical 2.5 year run that he had, the best 2 years in his career. And if you take away that run when Ryan Tannehill was playing at the top of his game with Arthur Smith. Mike Vrabel hasn't had that successful of a tenure with the Titans, you know. And I know you have to take the good with the bad, but it averages out that he's a pretty mediocre coach. If you look at the records and the numbers, especially if you t so if you took out Mike Vrabel's best season and his worst season, he would average out to about a 9-7 or 9-8 head coach.
And
And
we
I don't
fired Jeff Fisher for that.
exactly, and I don't think anybody in this fan base is. Once 9-8 every year. We've been 9-8 every year to death, and I'm just kind of tired of that anyway. I would rather be really bad than mediocre, and I know that's bad to say because I like to be competitive, and everybody wants to be competitive and win. Like I wanted to win the Jaguars game regardless of the circumstances. But if you look at it, if you're bad, look at the Browns right now. The Browns were bad for so long. The Lions, they're bad. They built those rosters through the draft, and you know they kind of. Sold ourselves that you know we're gonna like the Lions they leveraged their whole future with when they traded Matt Stafford and they got so much draft capital and now look at the position they're in now they knew they're gonna suck for a couple of years and I don't think the Titans have ever really embraced that other than when they were just terrible at the top of the organization at that time and they were just bad in general so that's something I think should be said with Mike Vrabel I think it's overstated. Now, and another thing that I can't prove, and I don't think anybody knows except for the people in the organization for real, the timing with Mike Vrabel getting the Ring of Honor with the Patriots, and then and what, 2 days later, Bill Belichick is fired after Mike Vrabel announces he's getting fired or not getting announced, but the announcement came out. I feel like they had the meeting. Vrabel said, "Look, if you don't trade me, I'm probably going to force myself out of here because I want that Patriots job." And I think that's what this boils down to. I honestly do. And I think Amy Adams just got out in front of it and wanted to go ahead and get the best coach on the in the carousel here because I think the Titans is a pretty good job. But that, if I were a conspiracy theorist, got my tinfoil hat on, I think Mike Vrabel forced himself out because he wants that New England job.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see it. And I think I ultimately agree with the decision to fire him because if you wait to try to trade him, trading a coach is not like trading a player. It takes time to work that stuff out. Look at Sean Payton. He didn't come in till almost right up till training camp.
Right.
And, you know, it's tricky. So, and you do that, then you run the risk of not getting one of the better candidates out there. But I think that, so kind of going to the coaching carousel of the NFL, transitioning into this, my first choice, obviously, you know, it's got to be an offensive-minded guy for me. Because here's the thing about the NFL, right? Good offensive coordinators don't stay anywhere for long. They get hired as head coaches. If you hire a defensive coordinator as a head coach and then hire an offensive coordinator to pair with him, If the offensive coordinator is good, he's going to become a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
If you hire an offensive coordinator to be your head coach and then hire a defensive coordinator to go with him, the chances of that pair sticking together are much higher than if you were to reverse that scenario.
Right.
So with that being said, I got to tell you, I want Ben Johnson out of Detroit. I think our position is probably one of the more favorable ones, right up there with the Chargers. So I got to tell you, I love the way they play offense. I love the way they play, the way they do things. It's so creative, utilizing tight ends and, you know, end blocking schemes and the two running back set. You know, you watch the progression of the Detroit Lions run game throughout the season. Everybody was kicking and screaming. They weren't using Jahmyr Gibbs. They weren't using Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, I would wager that he just wasn't up to speed with the complexity of that run offense. I mean, it's tricky stuff, man. You got to be able to do it. And they have this. I would love to have this. You know, they have the smash and dash. I think you put that with. I think you've got a golden opportunity if you hire Ben Jones to be able to keep Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think everybody is in on Ben Johnson in this offseason. I think every team really wants him. I think he's going to have his pick of jobs. I think the Chargers, if Jim Harbaugh wants it, I think the Chargers is going to take him. So I think Ben Johnson would look at the Titans and be like, this is probably – the Titans and the Falcons would probably be the two top picks. However, I don't – I'm just basing off the knowledge that I have. If Frank Carthon goes with the guys he's comfortable with, and I know a lot of guys don't want to hear this, and I know, Asher, I know you've been scouring the internet probably looking for candidates and seeing what we're going to do. But
it's going to be Slowick.
It's going to be Bobby Slowick. That's who I think is going to be the guy. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be a good hire or not. I mean, he's a good offensive mind. I mean, he fits the mold we want, right? If it works, hey, great. He's only 36 years old.
You can keep him 15 years.
Right. You could keep him forever if you really wanted to. Bobby Slowick has done really good with a rookie quarterback in a bad organization with a rookie head coach. They don't really have a whole lot of weapons there in Houston that you – I can't even think of their wide receiver one right now. Tank – what's his name?
Dell, Nico Collins.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of guys, and they have really made it work there this year. And I think it's a credit to Bobby Slowick. I mean, he's coming that Shanahan tree with D'Amico Ryans, you know, the zone runs with he's making good decisions with the quarterback. I think Will Levis would fit good in that system because him and C.J. Stroud are kind of cut from the same mold, pretty mobile, pretty sharp with the ball, pretty decisive. They'll take their chances. They're kind of the same guy if you think of it that way. So
yep.
I know we all got a bunch of candidates we want, but, guys, if we're being honest, and I think we should be, it's either going to be a defensive guy because that's what we've always done with this franchise, and
Terrible.
Or if Rand Carthon goes with his roots – it's going to be Bobby Slowick. And that's my gut feeling right now. And I'd be okay with that. I'd grade
it
like a B minus, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I'd agree with that. And now let's kind of transition from that. You know, it's got to be, we both agree that it's got to be an offensive guy. Tyler and I both kind of see that. And, you know, we've got to change the mold. And I think Rand's trying to do that. Let's go into the draft a little bit. We're just going to touch on what realistically could happen. We think number seven, where the Titans will be picking. I think you got to go tackle. You got to go offensive line. I mean, the quarterbacks for the Titans were sacked, I think, 64 times. They finished one shy of breaking the, not just the Titans record, but the Oilers record, which is terrible, absolutely terrible. Andre Dillard has got again that I'm going to knock Ran for a little bit. I'm going to change his grade from an A down to probably a B from that, because with Andre Dillard, you give him a 3-year contract for a trial run and he is abysmal, abysmal. But yeah, it's seven. You got to go offensive line unless Marvin Harrison Jr. is there. You run to the podium and take him. But if it's anybody else, I want Owe Fashanu or I want Joe Ald. Those two.
Look, I don't care. I know everybody's really, really high on Marvin Harrison, but and he's going to be a stud most likely. But if they don't come up there, with an offensive lineman in that first pick, I'm going to fry it. If you can't throw it to the guy, if you can't block them, you know, if it's a turnstile on the left side of the line every time you snap it, it doesn't matter who's out there on the outside running routes. They're going to be on the ground, and your quarterback's going to be hurt. So they better draft a cornerstone left tackle. Do your work. Make sure these guys are really who they're going to be. Let's not get another Isaiah Wilson situation or Dylan Radin situation. Let's get a real dude. I mean, I wouldn't even mind them, you know, trade a little capital. If you really believe in Joe Alt or the other kid from Notre Dame.
With Fashanu and Joe Alt.
If you really believe in those guys and you're scared they're going to be gone, you better move up and draft them. I mean, we got a little extra capital. So, I mean, if you thought somebody's about to take one and you're going to miss out on both, you've got to move up and get that left tackle, man, because it is such an issue ever since Taylor Lewan went down. That's where I'm at. I don't care who it is, as long as they believe in him and he can block. That's the main thing.
I'd agree with that. I think we differ a little bit on the Marvin Harrison Jr. thing. I think if he's available at seven, I'm running to the podium. I'm taking him, or I'm finding a way to trade. I'm taking Joe Alt, and I'm finding a way to trade to eight somehow and getting both of them. I'd probably trade the whole. This is going to sound really shitty, but I'd probably trade the entire rest of the draft class to get those two.
You're trying to go the Joe Burrow with Jamar Chase route, huh?
I want it so bad.
If you look at that though, Joe Burrow's out this year because his line couldn't block for him, you know. But he started off the season hurt.
But he took him to a Super Bowl.
That's true. He took him to the Super Bowl.
And then they ran into Aaron Donald, and Aaron Donald did what only Aaron Donald can do, and beat a triple team and forced an incompletion to win the Super Bowl.
But that's a fair point. However, he has T. Higgins on the other side too.
We'd have D-Hop and Marvin Harrison Jr.
They have real, real guys. They had that pretty good tight end that year too. What was his name? He went to the Jets.
Didn't do anything over there either.
Nobody does the Jets.
Anywho, it'll make you worse. It could be the Jets.
Yeah, that's true. My brother's a big Jets fan, so if you're listening to this, Jets suck. Not to dive too far into it. Asher would give up for Marvin Harrison. I'm not drafting anybody. The first three picks of this draft, I would hope it'd be offensive line. That's how bad our offensive line is, in my opinion. I'm drafting a tackle, a guard, and a center. And Aaron Burr's going to be a good depth piece, okay?
Send him to the fucking moon. Here's what you do. You take Aaron Brewer, who is too small to be a guard, but he's big enough to be a center, so you cut Ben Jones and think just to – that's what pissed me so much off about Vrabel, dude. God, now you get me fired up. We keep a whole fucking roster spot open for three tight ends, but for the love of God, we can't get an actual left guard. Yeah. Until we draft PS. I mean, oh, God. Jeff Swaim should never have been on the roster.
Jeff Swaim.
And now it's Kevin Rader. He caught one pass all fucking year, man. One pass. And you can't tell me his blocking was that good because our quarterback got sacked 62 times.
Yeah, nobody on that offense. Nobody but Peter Skoronski on that offensive line is safe.
Yeah, nobody. Maybe Brunskill. Brunskill
had a pretty good year, but he's got injury problems.
He does. So now let's talk about the free agency, though. Here we have a lot more needs than offensive line. The thing that drives me the craziest about this team is, look, we know our offensive line is bad. All right, that's fine. It doesn't. We can't make the players any better than they are. But some of the things that piss me off, I think I mentioned this probably 10 times during the season. Our cornerbacks never turn their head around and locate the football. Never. Never. They get called for so many critical defensive holding or pass interference or illegal contacts to the point where it makes me want to go outside and play on I-4 traffic. Because it's like so many times when the defense gets a stop. You turn around. I have to hold my breath on third down when there's an incompletion because I think that every time there's going to be a flag. Yeah. So we need to address – we need a DB1. We need a fucking middle linebacker that's not Jack Gibbons who can go out there and actually take an angle and tackle. Jack Gibbons could be a good coach, but he's just – God love him. He's just not athletic. let's just be honest here.
Why, guy?
He's like, he's a lunch pail guy. You know, he's a lunch pail guy. You know, he's good. He's like Rudy. You know, Rudy was a great story, but Rudy was a terrible football
player. All the characteristics of the white guys.
Yeah, you know, a hard worker, first one in, last one out, stays until the lights turn off. You know, really hard-nosed, intellectual kind of player. Has some limitations.
Can't hit an angle, though.
Can't hit an angle. Cannot hit an angle. I don't know.
Jack Gibbons should be sent out to pasture this year. Let's be honest. We need to draft a middle linebacker.
Jack Gibbons went to a farm, kids, all right?
Yeah, exactly. Metaphorically and physically, probably.
Yeah.
Considering.
Anyway. Now we got to talk about King Henry. We got to talk about Derek now.
I don't see him coming back, Asher. I'm going to go ahead and preface this rant Asher's about to go on, because he's going to talk about all the money we have and how we should keep Derrick Henry. We never re-sign our legendary players, and we want to see it. But based off what I know, how this franchise is, and how this guy who comes from the 49ers organization, I know they traded for Christian McCaffrey, but Christian McCaffrey is a different. He's more of a dual player. They don't value backs like that. And
Punch bail.
And you remember, Rand Carthon drafted Tajay Spears, so you know he really, really believes in him.
Got no ACLs.
I think we've seen the last of Derrick Henry and Two Tone Blue. And that's as bad as I hate to say it. I don't see any circumstance now that Mike Vrabel's gone, Derrick Henry's back. And I know that's loom and gloom, and Asher hates to hear this, and I know the rest of the fan base does too. But I'm just being honest. If I had to bet my life saving on this, I would say he's going to be playing for one of the other 31 teams this year.
This one's going to hurt like a motherfucker when he leaves, man.
Yes, it is.
Because it's the last jersey I have left of active players.
Yeah, mine too. Exactly. I got a Jeffrey Simmons Oilers coming in, though. So.
God, if he's the only one who's safe at this point, maybe Skronsky, but or Stonehouse, I don't know. But this is gonna hurt like a motherfucker, man, when he leaves.
And I think we all kind of know deep down. We're all just holding on to a little ounce of hope, you know. It's just kind of like, you know, I don't know. There's probably a million analogies you could face to this.
It's like a mutual breakup, man. Let me tell you, this is going to be just like a mutual breakup. I know about them. I just went through one. And let me tell you, they suck in the beginning. It gets better. You see that there's other things out there. In this case, Tajay Spears. In my case, you know.
We draft another back this draft, I bet. I bet we draft another back.
Well, I don't know, because Hassan Haskins is out there beating the shit out of people. So, do we – I mean, would – I don't know. The thing is, look, you take away Derek, I don't think the run game is going to be as good. I just don't think it – I don't think Tajay Spears can tote the rock 20 times a game.
I think we bring back Deontay Foreman. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent.
He doesn't even play. He hardly once he had that 12 game span in Tennessee, and then he gets hurt every year.
That's good, true.
You know, he got paid. That's he went true. To Carolina to be a right. third string, and then he went to Chicago to be a second string.
Well, we're not asking him. We're asking him to be like the Montgomery from with the Lions top role.
But if we get Ben Johnson, then we keep Derek Henry.
I hope you're right, but. Let's be honest.
Five straight 1,000-yard seasons and 12 rushing touchdowns.
You think he's willing to play running back by committee for real? I think he's going to go to Baltimore. If that's just my gut feeling.
His knees would 100% say, sure, oh, yeah, I'll take it 15 times a game. But again, it's like the mutual breakup. You hold on hope for a little bit, then you come to the realization it's for the best, and then you just move on. This was going to take a lot longer than my breakup, because this was a good 7 years. Yeah, 7, 8 years with Derrick Henry. All right. And Derrick Henry has given me a lot of happy moments.
He's one of the few not first round picks I nailed going into the draft. I said, we will draft Derrick Henry in the second round that year, because everybody knows all my family are big Alabama fans. I'm a Tennessee fan. I was like, we're going to have a marriage here. Your guys come to Nashville. I just felt it in my loins that Derrick Henry
In
was
your
coming.
plums.
The Titans, and he had a very a best, maybe the best player in Tennessee Titans history so far.
I think he is. I think, and he's a Hall of Famer. I swear to God, if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, then just go ahead and get rid of the running back position. Just call it H back or whatever they used to call it.
If he doesn't make it in his first ballot, it depends on what he does the rest of his career too. Of course, like if you look at like a guy like Russell Wilson, played himself out of the Hall of Fame.
You think Russell Wilson doesn't make the Hall of Fame?
I mean, do you think he's a for sure Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if he's first ballot.
If he would have stayed in Seattle and played the way he was playing, yeah, but he has maybe played himself out of it. Anywho, that's we can go on and on about that. I don't have to get on too big of a tangent. But, yeah,
I love
Derrick
you, Derek.
Henry, you know, we appreciate everything Derrick Henry's done for our fandom. Anywho, we kind of want to just touch in a little bit about this season and how we feel about it. You know, we all kind of deep down expected this kind of season. We knew we weren't going to be very good. With J-Rob just absolutely
decimated this roster.
Demolished, decimated, all kinds of analogies and not analogies, but
hard
to describe it.
Fire him again.
How what he did, just the last few first round picks he made were awful. The free agency signings, the players he let go to sign certain players, just looking back on it, looked terrible. And he absolutely destroyed this roster. And we kind of knew that's where it was going. And that's why I think a lot of us are still holding on to Mike Vrabel, because we're not really giving Mike Vrabel the blame for the season in a lot of the way. Mm-hmm. I think that's why a lot of us are kind of mad about the firing, because it's more on John Robinson. However, looking into it, if Rand Carthon does what he's hired to do, he is set up fantastic moving into next season. 2 years from now, mm-hmm. we should absolutely 100% be competing for our division again, easily.
I think we can win it next year.
Yeah, I do too. With the cap space we have, along with the draft capital we have, with the quarterback that we have, especially if we get an offensive mind in there, absolutely I see us competing again.
So, I'd agree with that 100%. I mean, you got to go out there. The only problem with the cap space is you're not going to really be able to address offensive line because, as you know as well as I do, good teams don't let good offensive linemen hit free agency. They just don't. You build through the draft, and you go from there. I think if Rand executes the vision of the head coach, whoever it is, to the point that they want to, and I think if you can – beef up the offensive line, get offense is pretty much taken care of other than another wide receiver and maybe possibly a tight end in offensive line, then you'll be okay. However, the defense is going to need so many more. I really think the defense needs to be addressed through the free agency and offense needs to be addressed through the draft. I'd be okay with that, but I don't want to see a mix of both. You know, if you're going to commit to rebuilding one side of the ball, go all in on one side, on one or the other. You know, go. I wouldn't mind it if Tennessee ran to the podium and took seven offensive linemen.
I'm fine with that.
I wouldn't mind it one bit. You know, if they're all going to add to the team, I also wouldn't mind it if they went up there and took seven defensive backs. I would. I mean, you know, I mean, why? Because if you look at it, one or two of them are going to be pretty good.
Right. You got 2 in 7 chance there.
Exactly.
I agree. I agree with that 100%. I think if we hire an offensive-minded head coach, let's give him the tools to succeed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with the defensive-minded head coach. I think we're all just fatigued with that kind of mindset in Nashville. You know, we want some fireworks. We want something. If you look at all the successful teams other than Baltimore, and you could probably put San Francisco in there as well, but they just got great offensive lines. Mm-hmm. They're all very offensive-minded, centric teams, and that's just how the league's moved. And I think we're getting left behind with some of the hires we've made.
I agree. But you know that's gonna you know we want to see that kind of we already talked about this transitional piece, but we what we want to see in 2024 is we want to see an attempt to change the mold, really, is what we're kind of saying in a lot of different words. We want to see them execute a vision that is not the same thing. Instead of trying to hammer it out and fix the wheel, let's just throw the wheel away and get a new one. You know, because we haven't scored over 28 points in any game in the last 3 seasons. We
Sadly.
haven't played good defense at all. Third down defense were terrible. Red zone defense were all right. It's because they can't fucking throw the ball that you're running out of real estate down there. And our run defense has kept us in so many games, but it's to the point where we're just kind of in purgatory, and we're kind of like a worse version of the Steelers organization right now, where we can win 9 games and it's really, really, really tough for us to win 9 games and draft really, really bad. But nobody looks at the Steelers as actual contenders, you know? Like, they know that Mike Tomlin's got the flashy, sexy record. He's never had a losing season, but he also has only won one Super Bowl.
Right.
So, and that was a young Big Ben. Their offense is atrocious. It's terrible. And our offense is atrocious. It's terrible. But they are so well coached on defense that they can kind of overcome that and win 9 games. We're not well coached on any side of the ball. So lean into one or the other, but don't try to half-ass two things, full-ass one. You
Yeah,
know?
I agree. 7 hours ago, Music City Miracles posted that Titans are requesting to interview offensive coordinator Bobby Slowik. I'm telling you right now, fellas, I have every inch of me feels like that's going to be our guy, just based on everything we know. And just going into that, I feel like this guy's going to roll in and develop an offense and really develop Will Levis. Remember, Rank Carthon drafted Will Levis. And I've seen
I
some
did.
people talking about drafting a quarterback. That makes no sense to
That's
me.
not, that will not happen.
I think this class is going to be like the Kenny Pickett class. I don't think it's going to be very good. I just don't. I think Caleb Williams is overrated. I think
Yep.
Drake May is
Drake
overrated.
May is terrible.
I just think this class isn't. I could eat my words, but just based off, they're all like 35 years older than Caleb Williams. You remember they're playing 18-year-olds. They're like 6 year seniors. So anywho, I don't see it. I think Bobby Slowik is going to be our guy, and I think Will Levis is going to be our guy for the next 2 years, and I think Rand Carthon is going to build us a good organization again, a good roster, and we're going to be competitive. We're going to be singing better tunes here in the next 2 years. I feel that, and we'll see. You know, only time will tell.
Let's go bring AJ Brown home. That's the whole. That's the catalyst that started all this.
Yeah. That was the downfall of John. That was the actually the Isaiah Wilson draft pick was the downfall, the start,
Yeah.
because he was supposed to replace Taylor Lewan and just didn't work out. And Dylan Raddins, we drafted a second round pick with him, and just the coaching staff for whatever reason hates him. And then
God, they hate him.
you get rid of your best playmaker on top of that, and it's just
For nothing. For Treylon Burks. For Treylon Burks.
Right. Who can't
Nobody puts up
stand a film?
a better zero reception, 0 yards, zero target, 0 yards of separation stat line like Treylon Burks.
You
Nobody does it better
pair
in the
all
history.
that with what we've talked about, and you paid a 34-year-old quarterback who is top 20 at best for the better part
$400
of his
million.
career, $40 million, and here we are. We're 6-11.
Yep.
So like a recipe for unsuccess, if you will. So,
Yeah.
I think that kind of sums up what my thoughts on the Titans season this year. I could go on and on. We're running out of time here. Ash, you got any more thoughts to add to it before we go?
No, give me a couple of New Year's resolutions. What are you trying to do in 2024, Tyler?
Well, I'm 2 years of resolution. I really don't do the resolutions, but I plan on finishing my degree in March, so that's something I'm gonna have done this year.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, what do you got, Asher? I know you got some resolutions on.
So I'm doing dry January, which I know is not a big thing for you because you don't touch it. Right. But I'm doing that. I'm going to lose 20 pounds and I am becoming more socially active. I am, I'm 27. I'm in the prime of my life. I'm going to go out there, have some fun, see who's out there, and, just kind of roll with the punches. I do that. Now I've started weight training a little bit and, that kind of stuff. I want to, Swole Patrol, baby. I got a couple of them. I've got, I think, I mean, but my big one for 2024 is actually, and this might come, this might come as a surprise. I want to start, develop, and write at least 50% of a children's book.
Oh yeah, I think you could do that. You've got the personality and the wit about you to do it.
I think so too. See, the thing, I'm not above buying myself into becoming a bestseller either. So I think I could do it.
I've actually done, I mean, we're getting way off into this, guys, but I've actually done that. I wrote one for my kids. It's just like a family heirloom. I've done that before. It's called Who Will You Be, Sweet Baby? It's a children's book
Oh.
I wrote. So that's something I really like doing too. So I think you could do it.
Oh yeah, now I'm even more motivated. Now I got to do it. But so that's kind of my plans for 2024, and who knows where it's going to take me. But I'm excited. I'm excited. Morale is high, vibes are high, and I'm ready. And I think Tennessee's going to be significantly better. And all due seriousness, it's hard to get much worse than they were this season.
Right. Yeah, and like you said, the vibes are high. I expect a really a lot more competitive team come August, September.
I agree too, and just not as many dumb mistakes.
And
There's some mistakes that just are going to happen. Like there are going to be holding calls, but the false starts at home are what drive me crazy too.
absolutely. We got to get this team rolling before the new stadium gets there. And you know, it'd be nice to host a Super Bowl playing in it one day, you know, because that's what we're gonna
Oh
do.
yeah,
We're gonna
that's
host a
right.
Super Bowl in Nashville before too long. So.
Oh yeah, tighten up.
Tighten up, people.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and I'd like to invite you to the portal of positive football history, Pigskin Dispatch and pigskindispatch.com. We talk about everything that centers around the game of American football, expert discussions, the origins of the games, the great players, teams, and coaches, and more, as some great guests and insights from experts. We have new episodes 3 to 4 times a week, and you can find us on sportshistorynetwork.com, pigskindispatch.com, or your favorite podcast provider.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.